We are joined by not just the best running back in the New York area, not just one of the best running backs in the NFL. He may not be aware of this. Tiki Barber's favorite player. Priest Hall, ladies and gentlemen. Priest, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's been good to, you know, have this offseason to, you know, just get better and not just get back to playing football. So right now, I'm in a great spot.
You know that you got me in trouble a week and a half ago.
What?
You don't even know why you got me in trouble a week and a half ago, Evan Roberts, who is a new season ticket holder for the New York Jets, bought me a present.
I did. I got him a present.
I was excited.
You know what that present was, Breece?
What?
It was a Breece Hall jersey.
Oh.
And you know what I did with that present?
What'd you do?
Put it on.
And you know what Evan did with that present that Tiki put on? Excuse me. I decided to take a picture of Tiki Barber in said jersey.
Yes, sir.
Frame it. And what I would love for you to do, Breece, is to sign this.
Oh, yeah.
And all you got to write is to Tiki from your favorite player, Breece Hall. Thank you very much, Breece.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
Stop.
New York Giant legend. Tiki Barber.
The reason this is a hard thing for Sean Morash, who's sitting over here, is because he's a massive Giants fan. So that's like sacrilegious.
Breece, be honest. In 20 years, if you're working for WFAN and the star Giants running back at that time, you get that jersey. You putting it on?
Getting what jersey?
If you're getting a star of the New York Giants jersey in 20 years, you're working in media. You putting on that Giants jersey?
I'm too prideful. I can't do it, man.
Thank you.
I can't do it.
That's my running back.
That's a respectable running back.
No, nope.
Dude, if you weren't a great dude, I wouldn't have worn it. But you're a great dude.
I appreciate that.
So I appreciate this. Look, can we hang this in the studio next to A-Rod jersey?
That's actually the plan, Tiki.
Nice. I love it.
Yes, that frame picture will now forever be on the WFAN studio.
It's all respect. You know, we talk all the time how the running back has lost importance in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think it's nonsense. I think mediocre running backs have lost importance in the NFL. The guys that can't go to the house, the guys that can't also catch the ball out of the backfield, those guys maybe have lost importance. But guys like you who can hit your head on the goalpost on any given play are very valuable in the pass game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the position needs to evolve to.
Right.
And so in some ways, Christian McCaffrey before you and even Saquon last year and what you're doing, that's what the position needs to be going forward. Do you guys feel that? And that's how I think you're coached and taught even in college.
Yeah, definitely. I think it should be. But it's also hard to find, you know, guys like me, Christian, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, like guys with a good stature who can play three downs and run the ball, catch the ball, be pounders and everything like that. It's rare to find that because usually guys are so used to coaches putting them in one skill set and guys aren't doing everything their whole life. So it's a lot different for a lot of guys. So you see guys come to the league and they're stuck in being in one role, which, you know, it sucks. But, you know, if you show that in college, I think you should translate it to the NFL.
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of coming to a place like here with the Jets is that they needed you.
Right.
So you got opportunities early. And obviously the ACL notwithstanding, your time here has been spectacular. Did you expect it? Or did you expect to be this good this quickly on the NFL level?
Honestly, just because I feel like with our rookie class, like we were what, you know, the New York area, we were what they needed. And we brought like a little bit of life back. And then just bringing in Aaron and guys like that, you know, obviously after my injury and then us bringing in Aaron, that gave me a big confidence boost and it helped me just attack my recovery even harder. So coming back off of that and just having the anticipation of playing with him and then him getting hurt, I just felt like, okay, I just got to do a little bit more even if I am coming back off an injury. So being able to have the season I did personally for me, just to be able to get back and still be the player I wanted to be, is good. But now I'm ready to tap into, you know, my full potential.
Was the injury ever on your mind, especially early last season?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just dealing with soreness and discomfort, you know, throughout a game, because your knee, like, even though you're cleared to play, it doesn't mean that you're ready to just be grounding and pounding all the time. So I definitely had to go through a little bit of camp and work my way back into it. And still, once you get into a game, you know, in camp, nobody was allowed to hit me. So into a game, it's like it's my first time having full contact. Like, nobody has to care about what they're doing to me. So I was kind of like, okay, we're just going to see how this goes. And luckily, it went really well for me. So it gave me a lot more confidence, too.
Yeah, we were getting upset because Coach Sala was saying, yeah, he's going to be on a pitch count or something of that matter. Like, yeah. Oh, hell no, he's clear. Let him go.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel worried, right, that you weren't going to be back to the same player that you were prior to the injury?
No, just because a lot of guys that I talked to about it, Saquon, Todd Gurley, even Christian, you know, guys like that told me, like, you know, it might not be what you want it to be, but it just takes time. Everybody's just saying it takes time, and, you know, I had to really see that. So throughout the season, I noticed myself getting better and better. It wasn't what I wanted to be, but I knew I was getting better. So by the end of the season, I was like, okay, I'm good.
When did you know? When did you know it was back? Was it in Denver?
It's my confidence was getting more and more throughout every game. So Denver was like that was a game that spiked it. And then I'd say after about like game 12, I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, I ain't worried about it anymore.
Were you, because I know I felt this way just as a fan talking on the radio, I felt like you didn't get enough touches early this season, last season.
Yeah.
Did you kind of share that frustration that the ball just wasn't in your hands enough?
Yes and no. Obviously, after games, when you're losing and stuff, I was frustrated. But when I look at it from hindsight now, just knowing that they wanted to do what was best for me and not overload me too early and kind of work me into the rotation and everything. So now I'm happy that they kind of held me back a little bit because, you know, I never know what could have happened. I could have been overloading myself and got hurt again or whatever the case may be. But they worked me back into, you know, being a number one back and getting all the carries and, you know, just having a bigger role. And once I was able to sustain that, they let me just roll. So I was very grateful that they did that with me.
How do you envision your workload looking like this year, assuming the quarterback stays healthy, football, God willing, you're out there healthy? How do you picture that playing out?
You know, I'm happy we drafted Braylon just because now I have somebody else to lean on in Isaiah. We got a really good running back room with Izzy, Xavier, Ballade, and all those guys. So I have more guys to lean on, and those guys have matured throughout this camp as well. So obviously I'm going to be the guy, and I'm going to play as long as I can. But just knowing that I have the confidence in those guys, that they know what they're doing and they're coming along, and they're going to be able to come in and be just as good as I am, do everything that I'm doing, because that's what we're priding ourselves on. I'm priding Braylon on, okay, you can run the ball, you're powerful, but I want you to be able to catch the ball. Izzy, I want you to be able to stick your foot in the ground and go use your speed and everything like that. So those guys are growing every day.
Yeah, you talk about Braylon Allen, who's a rookie. He's 20 years old. We were talking about him before we got on air here. He's 230-something pounds. I mean, he looks the part of the old school NFL running back. But it sounds to me like you've become a leader. You're only in your third year, and you've become this teacher, this mentor, right. And I think that's an important part of what this Jet success is going to be built upon. Do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got a new running back coach that came from Tennessee, Tony Dews, and he was there with Derek for about 5 or 6 years, and the first thing he said to me was like, Breece, you're our leader whether you want to be or not, so, you know, you're just going to have to embrace it, and I've started to embrace it, so just taking it on myself, and Garrett has to, just to be those guys that if we're having a rough day at practice, all right, come on, y'all, let's go. We're gonna get us out of this funk. And, you know, Aaron told us himself, he's like, I can't do it every day. So some days you guys are going to have to be the ones. So myself, Garrett, Tyler Conklin, you know, we're the leaders of our room. So we're taking it upon ourselves to, you know, just be the same guys every day, be consistent every day.
We're talking to Breece Hall. We're live here from Jets camp. I don't know if it's the same as when you dealt with it, Tiki, but I remember you saying on the air that you were a little bothered when the Giants drafted another running back in Ron Dane.
I was motivated.
You were motivated, mad, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
When it first happened, like, okay, the Jets are drafting Braylon Allen, was there a reaction of, the hell is this? We don't need another running back. Like, what was your initial reaction to it?
I was happy. You know, I feel like, you know, everybody needs some help, and Braylon's going to be a big help to this team, so I wasn't mad at all. And looking at that, you know, obviously I knew – you know, he was going to push me to be better because obviously every year somebody new is coming to take your spot and everything. So, like I said, I had to become a leader, and he's pushing me every day just like I'm pushing him. I'm trying to, you know, challenge everybody in our room, like who's going to have the best rep, who's going to have the best day. And, you know, I feel like this has been my best camp. I feel like, yeah, it's going into my third year, but I feel like it's only really my second year playing. So, you know, I'm still learning just like those guys are as well. But, you know, just last season was able to help me, and now being with Aaron for a whole another year and a whole another offseason, having my whole offseason to get better, you know, it's just jump-started me. So I feel like I'm just in a great spot right now.
Yeah, do you feel like a vet? You know what I mean? It's what, you're only in your third year, and it's really your second year, as you mentioned, because you missed so much time with the ACL. But there's a certain point where you just kind of understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what it takes to have success individually. You know what the team needs collectively to have success, and the veterans are the one that have to lead. You guys are still a very young team. I don't know where you guys are on the hierarchy, but you're still a very young team.
Right.
Do you feel like, I get it now, like I understand what it's going to take to be successful because of some of the ups, but also because of some of the downs?
In that aspect, yes, I do. But then I look at my age, and then compared to some of the other rookies, even this year, like half of our rookie class is older than me. So I'm like, okay, I'm not that old yet. I'm not, you know, I'm good. But as far as like knowing what it takes and seeing it, And just talking to other guys about it, yeah, I feel like I do know now. And every day that's been my challenge, is be the same guy, prove that you're the best player out on the field. And me and Garrett challenge each other with that, with that aspect of it every day. He makes a play, okay, I want to make a play now. Like, let's just feed off of each other and see what we can do.
What's the weirdest thing Aaron Rodgers has said to you?
So when he first got here, when I was doing my rehab, I wasn't able to practice or be with the team as much. So he would always call me Bryce instead of Breeze. So that was probably – that used to, like, he low-key would make me mad. So I would not talk to him or not acknowledge him. So that was probably the thing that got to me the most.
But you had a Bryce, right?
Right.
Yeah,
Bryce.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he was doing it on purpose?
Yeah, he was definitely doing it on purpose just to nag me. And then the first day that I was able to, like, start doing walkthroughs and stuff with the team, he stopped. He was like, hey, everybody give up. Breece is joining us back again. And he, like, emphasized my name and everything. So everybody started laughing. So, yeah, definitely that.
It's funny because we don't think about Aaron Rodgers in the way that I think his teammates think about him.
Right.
Like, we see this other image, and whatever people's opinions are, it is what it is. But it feels like he's intentionally obscure to the public.
Yeah.
Whereas with you all, it's like, man, this dude's the greatest guy in the world.
Right, right. Yeah. Just knowing how much he values his teammates and this brotherhood that we have, you know, you look, like you say, you get a whole different outlook on him. And just being around him and knowing how much he values us, as his relationship with us, and how knowing how high of a standard he holds himself to, he holds us to that same standard. So that just gets us to become more just closer with each other and expect more, uphold that standard of us wanting to be great together. And it's brought us closer together. So just knowing that he's like that, it also ties us all into that. So that's like the standard now.
I'm sorry, Tiki, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, you know, we talk about, you know, this team and the expectations. We know what the defense, where they were rated last year, and how well they played, and the offense scuffled a little bit, mostly because of the quarterback play. But Aaron is back, and the expectation is also back for offense and the team.
Right.
Are you feeling the pressure of that? Because it's also on you. You have to make plays. You can't have a 800-yard season this year. You got to do what you've been brought here to do. And the same thing with Garrett and the offensive line, which has been somewhat remade. Like, there's a little bit of pressure here for this team this season.
No, I don't say we feel it just because of us being young, and you may call it naive or whatever, but, you know, when I step out on the field, I think I'm that dude. Garrett thinks the same thing. And Aaron, he is that dude. Right. He's living it, walking it. So it's kind of just like, okay, let's just get out there and do this thing. You know, we feel like if we put our best foot forward, then we're going to be fine. We always preach is do your 111th. So if everybody's doing their 111th, we'll be fine. We're not really too worried about it.
Did you think, because I know we spent so much time talking about on the radio last year, the idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. He's going to come back. Did you guys in the room expect Aaron Rodgers to play for you guys last year after the injury?
Honestly, he told me he was, and I was like, wow, this is going to be. Then next thing you know, you see him out there getting ready for practice and warming up and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is really going to be crazy. So it really just showed the dedication and how serious he was about, you know, being a part of this organization, and showed how much loyalty he had to us, because he could have just been like, okay, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore. But he's like, no, I came here for a reason. I came here to, you know, not only do something, but just to bring another purpose to this organization, and he has.
The other thing I'm curious about is, I don't know if it's just we're in this world of following everything that happens, and during the off season, you check out, you relax.
Right.
Were you aware about the rumors of Aaron Rodgers running for vice president? Was that like a thing you were aware of and thinking about?
I thought it was a joke. I didn't think it was like a serious thing, but I heard it, but I never thought, like, looked too much into it. I was like, oh, he's probably just joking around, just messing with everybody. But I didn't even know. I was like, oh, he actually was serious about that, dude. That's crazy.
Crazy. Can you imagine if he had done it?
No, I would have been like, wow, this is crazy.
Would you have been mad? He was like, hey, guys, you know, thanks for everything. It's great getting to know y'all. I got to go fix the country. I know the Jets are important, but I got to fix the country instead.
No, because he would have been doing that while trying to play football. So it's like,
thank you.
All right. Like, yeah, so it's crazy to even think about.
That's what Evan thought.
That was my theory. My theory was, if he does this, he's going to do both.
Yes.
He's going to run as Kennedy's running mate, and he's also going to be the quarterback.
Exactly.
What's the problem?
Exactly. So it's like the best of both worlds right there.
Do you like, and we're talking to Breece Hall, like, or does it kind of annoy you when people come up to you and talk about their fantasy team? Because you are, especially this year, like, you're a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Right, Sean? He's definitely a first-round pick. And maybe top five in most drafts.
Yeah.
So you're always going to get that, hey, Breece, my fantasy team. Hey, Breece.
Yeah.
Do you like it, or is it kind of like, shut up,
Geek? Yeah, it's like, I don't really care. It's like, all right, whatever. It's cool. Good for you, bro. Like, you know, so it's like, I mean, I acknowledge it. I'm like, all right, I appreciate it. But, in the back of my mind, I'm like, bro, I don't care that much. It's not that big of a deal.
Right. You guys are heading down to Carolina, right? And then you have the Giants. Mm-hmm. And not too soon after that, you guys are going out to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I know the preseason is important. I know developing camaraderie and getting everybody physically up to speed is what's most important. But how hard is it not to think ahead to that first game? Because it's a challenging one on the road against the defending NFC champs. Like, where are you guys at as far as, man, this is – we got a tough start, but if we can clear that hurdle, mm-hmm. everything's in front of us.
Yeah, it is. Me personally, every now and then, like when I have some free time after I watch film on, the practice, the walkthrough, and whoever we're going against in joint practice that week, like I'll go peep some of their games. But for me, it's like I'm still a fan of McCaffrey, so I'll catch myself watching more of the offense and the defense and stuff right now. So just growing up watching him since I was in middle school, high school, like – I'm supposed to be watching the defense, but I catch myself just watching him, seeing what he's doing, how he does stuff. And then I'll be like, okay, Brees, you got to go watch the defense and see what they're doing versus these teams and stuff. So I definitely catch myself
It's funny you say that, because I used to do that with Emmett. When Emmett Smith, and I was a then Redskins, but now Commander. I was a Washington fan. And so I hated the Cowboys, but I loved Emmett.
Right.
And the thing, I would pick things up. Like, the upfield arm was trying to tackle him. He'd just subtly just push it down.
Yeah.
Right? And then
he
could run through the tackle. Like, what do you pick up from watching, some of these other guys that do it well? Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, you talked about. Even Bijan, mm-hmm. who's, basically in that positionless offense that they had down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, watching McCaffrey, just seeing, he does everything right all the time. So, and just hearing guys talk about him, he's like, everybody says he's like a robot just from his routine before practice, pre-practice, and after practice on how he does his recovery and stuff. And then in the game, just watching, you could tell he really watches film a lot and is really dialed in, because he always, just with him being in the pass game, he always makes the right decision. He's never putting the quarterback in the cloudy spot and everything, and he has no wasted move and always running really efficient. So I pick up on stuff like that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because we were talking also about Aaron and how he's teaching, always.
Right.
In the middle of practice, in the middle of a play, he's teaching to help you guys. And you go and watch some film with him at times. What do you pick up from watching one of the greatest to ever do it?
So it'll be a day, say the defense gets us with the blitz, he'll run into the running back room and be like, hey, you guys busy? And we'll be like, no. He'll be like, okay, this is what they did today. This is why I want to do this, and maybe it's easier to get us out, or maybe it's like, okay, we'll let the line take him and you'll take the little come. And just like little stuff like that I pick up on from Aaron. Or it'll be pre-snap and he'll be like, hey, Brees, we got this concept over here. I want you to run this. And so it's like – Every play is like something different. You never know. You got to always be locked into him and what he's doing, because he'll give you a signal and change a play real fast or change a protection real fast at the end of the shot clock before he snaps the ball. So with him, it's like always something. You always want to be dialed in.
Is that hard? Because you have to be aware.
Yeah.
You can't sit up there, I heard the play, I know what I'm supposed to do.
And just go.
As soon as the ball snapped, I'm going.
Right.
It's like, things could happen before anything actually occurs.
And at first it was hard, but now I'm so comfortable and I kind of sometimes know what he's going to do before he does it. So it's just like, okay, it's normal now. So as a rookie, it was definitely, and coming off my injury, just not being with him for the whole offseason, it was hard. But now it's kind of just like, all right, let's go. Like, what you got? Mm.
We're talking to Brees Hall. I've always heard that players say they take it one game at a time. They don't know the schedule. So I do want to play a game with you. Obviously, week one is against the Niners.
Yeah.
Do you know who you guys are playing week two?
No idea.
Really?
No idea.
Wow, so it's true.
No idea.
What if I told you it's in Dallas against the Cowboys? Would you say, wow, I didn't know that? Or would you say, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that?
No, I have no idea.
It's not the Dallas game.
No, just put anybody out there who you want to play, let's play.
All right. Well, just so you know, it's the Titans, just so you know.
Yeah.
And then week three is at home against the Patriots on a Thursday night. Let me make this very, very clear. You already know this, and you did a great job in that last game against the Patriots. Beat their asses. I don't care if it's 45-3. You tell Solin Hackett, give me the ball. We're putting up a 50-burger.
I'll tell him that in practice, so you know it's coming in the game.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Brees. We appreciate it.
No
Thank
problem.
You for being Tiki Barber's favorite player.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brees. The great Brees Hall, the New York Jets.